Jayaradamadavam Kunjavihari Damadavam Kunjavihari Kopijana Vallava Girivaradari Navallava Yashodanandana Brajanaranjanam Yashodanandana Brajanaranjanam Munatiravanachari Tiravanachari Ayarada Madhava Kunjavihari Radha Madhava Kunjavihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari Madhava Kunjavihari Jaya Gopijana Vallava Girivarada Harim Gopijana Vallava Girivarada Harim Yashodanandana Brajanaranjanam Nandana Yashodanandana Brajanaranjanam Yamunatiravanachari Jayarata Madhava Kunjavihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari Kunjavihari Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Chimati Vati Vyanti Samniti Namine Namaste Saraswati Eve Gauravani Pracharini Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Good morning everybody. Thank you for attending the class. Today we're beginning a new chapter. It's Srimad Bhagavatam, text 19, Swallowing the Forest Fire. I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 4. I'm going to read first the intro, and then we're going to go with the verse, and then I'm going to read all the translations. This chapter is called Swallowing the Forest Fire. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna saved the cows and the cowherd boys from a great fire at the Munjaranya forest. One day, the cowherd boys became absorbed in sporting and allowed the cows to wander into a dense forest. Suddenly, a forest fire blazed up, and to escape its flames, the cows took refuge in a grove of sharp canes. When the cowherd boys missed their animals, they went searching for them, following their hoof prints and the trail of blades of grass and other plants they had trampled and had broken with their teeth. Finally, the boys found the cows and removed them from the cane forest. But by that time, the forest fire had grown strong and has threatened both the boys and the cows. Thus, the cowherd boys took the shelter of Sri Krishna, the master of all mystic power, who told them to close their eyes. They did so, and in a moment, he had swallowed up the fierce forest fire and brought them all back to the bandira tree mentioned in the last chapter. Seeing this wonderful display of mystic potency, the cowherd boys thought Krishna must be a demigod, and they began to praise him. Then they all returned home. So on the board is text one. And it goes, Ajagavo, Sri Krishna uvacham, krida saiktesu gopesu, tadgavo duracharinihi, swairam charantyo vivisus, trinalabhena gavaram, Sichuka vacham krida saktesu gopesu tadgavo duracharinihim swairam charantyo vivijus trinalabhena gavaran Sichuka vacham Krida saktesu gopesu tadgavo duracharinim swairam charantyo vivesus trinalabhena gavaram. Chukauvacham Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Kridam, in their playing, Asakteshu, while they were completely absorbed, Gopeshu, the cowherd boys, Tadgavaham, their cows, Duracharini, wandering far away, Swayam independently, Charantyaha, grazing, Vivishuhu, they entered, Trunam, for grass, Lobhanam, out of greed, Gavaram, a dense forest. Translation, now I'm going to read the four verses, the translations. Sukadeva Goswami said, while the cowherd boys were completely absorbed in playing, their cows wandered far away. They hungered for more grass, and with no one to watch them, they entered a dense forest. Passing from one part of the great forest to another. The goats, cows, and buffaloes eventually enter in an area overgrown with sharp canes. The heat of the nearby forest fire made them thirsty, and they cried out in distress. Not seeing the cows before them, Krishna, Rama, and their cowherd friends suddenly felt repentant for having neglected them. The boys searched all around, but could not discover where they had gone. Then the boys began tracing out the cow's path by noting their hoof prints and their blades of grass the cows had broken with their hooves and teeth. All the cowherd boys were in great anxiety because they had lost their source of livelihood. Okay. I'm going to tell a little anecdote before we start, because in some way, when I was little, when we were kids, we used to go and do the same thing. An uncle of ours that didn't have kids, we were their kids. He was a lawyer and decided to retire really early and live in a rural area. And he had cows for milk and chickens for eggs. So we went there, but in every vacation. But he always said, like, no, you're not in vacation. You're not going to be lazy. You have to wake up and go with the rest of the peasants, milk the cows. You're going to learn how to milk the cows, and then you're going to go and take care of them too. Now, we learned all the things that we learned how to horseback ride and saddle the horses, because he didn't even want us to have the horses saddled. You have to learn how to go get your horse, whatever horse you want, go get it, and saddle. So we used to go with the peasants also to see the cows grazing, and we were playing and we were living this absolutely bucolic and pastoral life. It was great. So I can imagine how great this was, because as many times you go and do the same thing time and again, every day, in a daily basis, you have this bond getting stronger every day. Now, and sentiments arise. I cannot imagine how beautiful and sublime those feelings were back in the times when Krishna was one of them, one of those cowherd boys, having this wonderful time, you know, in which they had all the time in their lives to do whatever they want in the company of the Lord. You know, it's just magnificent. We were doing a flashback. We were the nephews of the owner of the farm, and we were treated like that. But in a moment, we are all friends. Where there's no difference, there's no social difference, there's no distinction of any kind. So, oh God, I'm sorry. So I can't imagine how beautiful this situation was in the same circumstances we were growing, and these kids were having fun with Krishna. And I want to do a parallel as well. The forest fire in the 21st century and the forest fire in this moment in which Krishna was living in Vrindavan. In the 21st century, we heard in the news there was a raving forest fire in the Amazon, 18,000 different fronts of fire were created for colonization purposes. The new president, Jair Bolsonaro, decided he's going to destroy the forest. He is going to put cement and develop it because it's where the riches are for Brazil. But he's not seeing in perspective the impact he's causing. He's causing an enormous impact to a point in which the international community protested. By the time this is happening, the G20 summit is happening, and they threaten him to block him and to not give him money and to start cutting funds and things. And he said, like, no way, this is not going to happen. I'm going to kill everybody. I don't care. Whoever lives there, he's going to be killed. He hates blacks and he hates indigenous people. They're stopping the progress. And this is Kali Yuga. This is Kali Yuga, and he doesn't understand. He's obnubilated by the sense of progress. Do you know what is the meaning of obnubilated? Obnubilation? Obnubilation. No, ob, O-B-N-U-B-A. L-I-T-I, obnubilation, is to have, to be obnubilated, or being in obnubilation, is to lose the senses, is to be, obnubi is a Latin rooted word that comes from Latin, that means to have a cloud in front of us. We cannot see. We can understand. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. We lose the perception and the perception of reality in a moment. So it, in the same way, when Krishna is leaving, these kids are obnubilated. But it's a sublime obnubilation. This is an obnubilation out of love. They are there. His friends, they are his partners in games and things. And in addition to that, he's got these beautiful features and endless powers. And but they don't see exactly who he is. Nowadays, we know who he is, Bolsonaro. And also, there were other and worse fires in Africa, 33,000 different fronts of fires, and having the most sophisticated technology. The only thing that we did is to take pictures from the space and from airplanes, and that was it. But we couldn't stop the fires. Actually, there's some going on. In this particular case, is kind of a spoiler. Krishna is going to swallow it. He's going to swallow and end the fire and the danger in which these kids were in a moment and the cows. No, and yeah. There's nothing more fearful or dreadful than a fire. Animals and people are defenseless in a way, especially animals, especially wild animals. From a flood or from torrential rains, they can survive. They have means to escape. They know their way around. but in a fire that comes, and especially this one that apparently is an arson by one of the friends, Pralamba friends. And gossips say that Kamsa was the one in the back, but I still don't know exactly the facts. I need to have Nityananda or one of you guys telling me if this is true or not, because apparently Kamsa was the one that said to Pralamba's friend, hey, go and kill those guys, set a fire in the forest. No, and is what happens. One of the things that I remember most fondly of these times in vacation times in my uncle's farm is that the cows were gone to graze, and they ate the grass by all means. They were changing every day different lots in the way that when they are eating this lot, from this lot, this grass is already growing. So when they come here, the grass is already grown and they can eat. There's no lack of food. However, they had a supplement that the beer industry, when they are boiling in the cereal that they use to create the beer, that leftover, the farmers buy it, and the cows love it. So at 5 o'clock at the second milking, the cowherd starts calling them, toma, 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 toma. No, toma, take, come take. And the cows start coming because they knew that they would have this delicious, what's the skin of the, whatever the name of the cereal is. So in the same way, here's going to happen the same thing. In the same way, Krishna calls them, called the cows, and they feel great. And in the same way, the cowherds are going to feel like they're safe later on. Yeah, this is, most of what I have to say for today's class. It's a very short chapter. Yeah, Krishna is going to resolve this in 16 verses. So, and there's no purpose for me to help. This is my first time I'm sitting here in the Vyasasa. Yeah. So I'm kind of nervous. I didn't think that I would have been this nervous. But any questions, any comments?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
There's a nice point about this forest fire that you'll appreciate because of all your services with interfaith. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the deeper meaning of what is this forest fire that comes up that Krishna has to remove or destroy, perhaps. Not destroy is not a good word, but swallow. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this forest fire represents inter-religious conflict, sectarian conflict, that this is my religion, that is your religion, I think like this, you think like this, and then people fight. So this sectarianism that comes up within, even within a religious community or within other communities of people who practice different traditions, then Krishna is that harmonizing factor that can swallow that forest fire of conflict between fighting religious groups. Sectarianism is the deeper explanation that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives to the forest fire. So I thought that's a point you might appreciate.
No,
because
I didn't
you're
know.
A,
yeah.
Inter-conflict acharya.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
not
yeah,
inter,
yeah.
Interfaith acharya. You're the interfaith acharya. So I thought you'd appreciate this point.
Yeah.
But nice effort, your first class. Wish
Thank
you all
you.
The best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I need to read more, and I need get more confident. It's a matter of confidence. Women first. Okay.
Is that close enough? The devotees asked Srila Prabhupada about the conflict in Ireland over the Protestants and the Catholics. And Prabhupada said, Krishna's leveling the playing field because they're actually killing a lot of cows there, and it's creating that conflict and quarreling and stuff like that. Because traditionally Ireland's supposed to be a religious country, but they're one of the big exporters of beef and killers of cattle and stuff. So devotees were wondering why this is all coming about. And he gave that explanation.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That is happening, actually, between some Indians and some Pakistanis, and about the meat eating nowadays. Yeah. Narendra Modi's got a huge problem with the people that are meat eaters and the ones that are not. Apparently, they've been brutalized and being treated really badly for the people that are meat eaters. That's what I've heard. I don't know. Yes, Matati.
Speaking of the forest fire and how the cowherd boys simply took shelter of Krishna to save them. I had recently read, not recently, some maybe a year or so ago, that there was a big forest fire in California. And one of the devotees' homes was, you know, going, the flames were coming closer and closer and closer. And the mother just prayed to Lord Narsingadev. She just called out, "My dear Lord, please save us. You are the only person who can save us. It has, you know, reached." And the fire turned away.
Yeah.
You must have heard of this, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
This is an actual happened, and you know, I think it was quite widely publicized, maybe in Dandavats and ISKCON News and things like that. But Lord Narsingadev just, you know, turned that fire around, so the devotees were saved.
Yeah.
So Krishna is the only one who can save us from every fire.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. In every circumstance, not just the fires.
Yes.
The fires and the demons we have inside that we struggle with are fires that lead us into quarrels and conflicts with others and things. The only one that will calm those fires and will kill those demons is Krishna.
That's true. By all means. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Yeah, he uses a tree. The always tree, but this time it's not a banyan. It's a banyan tree, but it's a cousin of the banyan trees, the badira tree that was commented. And just go climb up, close your eyes, don't worry, I'll take care of this. Fire's gone.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Wonderful class. Even though it's short, this chapter is short, but I always enjoy spending time with you just in general because you know a lot about history and the origin
of
words. So it's not like I always kind of hear your classes. So
it's
not surprising that you did well today. So you know a lot about history. You were mentioning that we're in general, everyone's afraid of fire.
Yeah.
But we see it, like Prabhupada, there's that phrase, yuktha vairagya, anything can be used in the service of the Lord.
Excuse me, can you?
There's a...
speak a little slower.
In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's a phrase, yuktha vairagya, meaning anything can be used in the service of the Lord, including fire.
So
we see devotees use it all the time. Fire can either be used to help us or it can be used to hurt us, depending on our knowledge. A child will use fire to hurt himself and others. An adult will use fire to help himself and others. So there's a nice quote that says, death is not the greatest loss in life. The greatest loss is what dies inside of us while we live. So sometimes we see in the material, people are very afraid of things like, that's obvious, the fire, you know, external fires. But they're not so afraid of the fire of the most material nature, the fire that causes, you know, either destruction of our peace of mind or potentially destruction of others' peace of mind in the form of criticizing, etc. So my question is that we see that Krishna saved the cowherd boys from this forest fire. And sometimes in our devotional life, we're constantly praying to the Lord, please get rid of this, you know, this forest fire of my anarthas. But they still don't seem to be going away. So how can we maintain our faith in Krishna? We see that it's very easy to become discouraged. Krishna, I'm praying, I'm doing my best I can, you know. Why isn't this fire of anarthas that's destroying my peace of mind and my relationships with others? So how can we maintain our faith that actually Krishna's in control and not our anarthas? It seems like our anarthas are more powerful than Krishna.
No. You know, it's because we haven't finished to surrender to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's and Lord Chaitanya's teachings. When we're not fully surrendered. Surrendered means is when we do not absolutely absorb all the teachings and practice them, is what happens. Let's go on your order. One of the things that was important in the evolution of the species was the difference between the apes that had some understanding and some knowledge, that the Homo erectus and Australopithecus and all those guys, and the Homo sapiens that discovered fire and how to create fire. Fire has been a pivotal, was a breakthrough in the human prehistory, in paleohistory. This was important because that separated us from the animals, from when we learn how to cook raw food, and when we learned how to maintain ourselves warmer through the fire, that started the differentiation and the evolution, according to the evolutionists and archaeologists and anthropologists. No, when that happens, at that very moment, the man became a man, stopped being another anthropoid. That is one thing, and the fire that you're talking about is our reactions. We are not fully surrendered. We're not. It's not a matter of knowledge. It's not a matter of chanting. It's our attitude towards our activities to start our Krishna consciousness act within ourselves is what happens. It's when we do not understand exactly what bhakti is, when we don't understand what is to be compassionate and loving and careful and respectful. When we do not understand or kind of understand, our relationships become a little complicated. One of the things in the past is that all the cowherd boys have all the cows. Everybody was gathering around and going. There was no limits. There were no borders. There were no frontiers. Now we have them, not just geographically and politically, but we have boundaries, social boundaries.
Oh, you're trespassing my limits. No, you're attacking me. You're saying this or that.
We're creating norms in order for us to socially interact in a way that every day is much more complicated. There are social conducts that are culturally driven that we have to take care of them. And Vaishnavism is teaching us a way in which we have to first serve God and understand Him in order for us to understand our mutual interactions. It's my saying. I don't know. Probably I'm right. Probably I'm wrong.
I'll mention one last point in regards to, I really appreciate the, you were mentioning we're not fully surrendered, and it really depends on our attitude. And that word reminded me of a nice quote. It says, your attitude will determine your altitude. It will determine how high or how low you will go.
Exactly.
And now for us, it's easy to maintain a good attitude when things go our way, when devotees honor us, when devotees respect us. But how to maintain a good attitude when things don't go our way, when devotees disagree with us, they don't respect us, or just in the material world. And we see Prahlad, this kind of go to the point, one comment I'd like to mention that I keep in mind all the time. Theoretically, it's hard to practically apply, but one really analogy I appreciate is that in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says the Lord is always testing the good qualities of his devotees. He's always putting them through tests. And we see that when we go to school, just a practical experience, a valedictorian, for example, their happiness always comes from them passing their exam. Their happiness never comes from somebody else passing their exam. And so we see the great saints like Prahlad. He was a spiritual valedictorian. Why was he always happy? Because his happiness came from him passing his own character exam. His happiness never came from Hiranyakashipu passing his character exam. As long as we pass our humility, exactly, our tolerance, and our forgiveness test, then it doesn't matter whether somebody else passes their humility, tolerance, or forgiveness test. Unfortunately, as devotees, like I said, it's hard to maintain a good attitude when things don't go our way. But this is, I've never seen a valedictorian who's crying, giving a speech, his valedictorian speech, because the other students didn't pass their exam. But as practicing devotees, sometimes we maintain, you know, we all go through this stage where, oh, fault finding, you know, oh, you know, they didn't pass their character exam. That's why I'm miserable. But what difference does it make? As long as you pass your own character exam, then you're happy. In this way, we can always maintain our good attitude, you know, towards devotees.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done, but that's one thing, analogy I appreciate that I could work towards. And I'm not sure if you have any thoughts on that, but anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. Many times, dissenting, it's what brings the dialogue. To dissent is, do you know what the meaning of dissent means? It's like contradiction. It's a contradiction. To dissent is to disagree. Dissensus is disagreement. But depending on the terms, we validate it or invalidate it. We can create an amicable dialogue and a creative and that will strong bonds of friendship or of mutual interests, or create a fight. It depends on the tone of voice, depends on the terms in which it's made. When people start losing arguments, start getting personal in the dissensus, and that's when And things escalate. For me, one thing is that being insolence is the threshold for violence. Being insolent is when you attack a person at the time of the dissensus. When we're dissenting, and but what is what you're saying? You're an idiot. No. So, and that goes in a spiral. It is getting worse. I started from idiot, and we're going to start in a major caliber words. It's not going to end. Oh, he told me I'm an idiot, I'm going to stop. No, it's not going to happen. It's going to escalate. So those dissensus, those contradictions, and the same thing like with fire, can be beneficial or can be destructive. Can destroy friendships and relationships and business. is depending on the terms and depending on the attitude, our body language, our kinesis. If I'm wrong, no. That is going to spoil everything. But as I'm saying, when we're not fully surrendered, it's because we haven't understand and we're not applying what we're learning in order for us to understand our interactions. We have to accept sometimes that people will point the fingers and will be like, you know, to accept it. When we have a dialogue or a dissensus, the thing is not to believe who's going to win, what is going to be the stronger position. We're learning from a dialogue or from a contradiction. We're learning. We're building relationships. Building relationships not necessarily have to be in mutual accordance and be friends. Could be a distant relationship. Okay, this is a dialogue that the only thing clear here is that we cannot be friends or we cannot be partners, but we're going to respect each other. I disagree with you, but I will defend what you're thinking even with my own life. But I entirely disagree with what you just said, but I respect it. And that's the way we have to handle things. We need to. We don't have to do anything but die. No, it's the only thing we have to do. No, prepare our burial or cremation or whatever. No, it's the only thing that we have to do. But we need to create all this crisis managing and crisis management and the mechanisms of dialect in a nicer and more constructive way. And we have the grace and the fortune that he translated from Sanskrit and from Bengali and from Hindi all the teachings in that were written in India about having great relationships. India was, back in the times, not very long ago, the last bastion of spirituality and how to learn how to treat at each other in different ways, even though they have Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists and Christians in the south. They survived. There were conflicts in a moment, but people, that was among the politicians that were handling the politics, but the people themselves got along pretty well. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.